So we've done the introduction last week and the beginning our study on the Lord's Prayer, and now we're moving on to the first part of the six-part prayer track. So you can jog around the prayer track any time of day you want, or any time of night you want. The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he said, "Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." And so often people just think it's there just to reel off. And those of us in the past that have done this study will know that the Lord's Prayer, we can break it up into six sections, and it will actually help us pray through situations, circumstances, for our families, and through our family situations, and through our lifestyles that we live. And we will go through that as we move along over the next few weeks. So the first part of the prayer track that we're on tonight is Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we're going to look at tonight about the different names of God that were used in the Old Testament. Bear in mind, when Jesus sort of gave this prayer to the disciples, the New Testament hadn't been written. It was in the process of being written. So Jesus was having to relate to Old Testament principles, Old Testament teachings, to assist his disciples to understand who God really was and what the future was in God through Christ Jesus. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40, when Jesus had gone to pray, as he was nearing the point of being taken captive and imprisoned and beaten and nailed upon a cross, and he went to pray, and as well, whilst he was away praying, after a while he came back and he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" And I'll guarantee you, when we start praying, something crosses our mind, we get sleepy, we get drowsy. And I told you the story the other week, how one gentleman, Jerry Seville, said that when he wanted to pray and study the word, he would go and stand on the edges of the bath, and that way he wouldn't fall asleep, because if he got up early in the morning and went into the other bedroom and started to read the next thing, or started to pray, the next thing he was asleep. So he had to cure this problem, but the only idea he came up with that could cure it was to go and stand with 1 foot on one side of the bath, 1 foot on the other side of the bath, and the Bible in his hand, and read and pray there. That way he knew if he fell, he'd have a rude awakening, basically. He'd sort of come round with a bump. So he beat it, he says, in the end. So that's how he conquered it. But this is to help us so that this study that we're going to do will help us so that you don't have to pray right through solidly for 1 hour at a time. You can actually, the Lord's Prayer can be broken up into six slots, as I've said. So you can, six slots, 10 minutes each time, so you can allocate 10 minutes towards certain topic and subject and pray for things, and then through the day you think, oh, where did I get to? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, oh, thy kingdom come. And you start, and then you move on to the second part. But we'll, and so forth and so on, right through the day, so that even that you can say, if you, once you get to the end of the Lord's Prayer, you probably turn and say, well, I've prayed for an hour today, and you've prayed with purpose. Because some people say, well, I don't know what to pray. Well, this Lord's Prayer helps to point, guide, and give direction to the various phases of our prayer time, and that's the principle of the Lord's Prayer. Some people object to the Lord's Prayer and think, oh, it's just repetition. No, there are six points in this that we need to look at and to use them to see God coming to manifest himself in our lives. The rabbis, you know, used to teach by topics. They teach a topic, and in the same way, this is the same principle that Jesus taught. And the Lord's Prayer is taught by a topic. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the thing that we want to realise is that when we pray, we are entering into the presence of God. That's what we're doing. As we pray, we are entering into the presence of God. And we're entering into the presence of God, first of all, for us, through the blood of Jesus. Thank God there are no more sacrifices that we have to get involved in. And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, and the Bible encourages, Paul says, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. So straight away some people say, oh, I don't know whether I could pray, I don't know whether God will listen to my prayer. Well, in Hebrews, Paul says to them, God will listen to your prayers, because we can have confidence to enter into the holy place because of the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed for us, that has brought redemption, forgiveness and righteousness into our lives, and has clothed us in righteousness. Therefore we can enter into the presence of God. And so we are able to move into that presence of God without fear and without any condemnation. And you might say, well, you don't know what my life's been like or what's happened in my life. No, but God does. And the sacrifice of Jesus covers all sins and sets everybody free and deals with all sins. And therefore we can come into the presence of God through that precious blood of Jesus, and we can enter into his presence and know the power of God to be working in our lives. And we're going to get people who come along and just don't understand that. How can this be? And we need to be able to share with them that this is what Jesus did for us. This is God's plan. This was God's intention. Right from the beginning of the fall with Adam and Eve, and that sacrifice of that lamb, that was a shadow. It was a type of what was to come through Christ Jesus. And many times in the Old Testament, there are types and shadows of what is to come. And what it was to come was the New Testament, the life and story and the lifestyle that Jesus lived, and the perfect life that Jesus lived, and to bring and redeem mankind back to himself. And so it's through that that we've got many types and shadows in the Old Testament. And we will look at probably some more of those as we move along over this period of time. Now the Word of God tells us that when we pray, and when we come into the presence of God, it says, come before him in praise. And one of the things that we need to do is realise that one of the first things we do is to praise and give thanks to God. In the natural, the worst thing that you and I would get is somebody who keeps coming up to you and is constantly asking for something from you. Can I have this? Give me this. Can I? And all you get, and it's a constant that you're giving out to them all the time. And we would get a bit fed up with it after a while, wouldn't we? Yeah, isn't it time there was a bit the other way, thank you, or, and you teach children, don't you, to say thank you, so that there's a response back in that sort of sense. And so praise is a little bit like saying thank you to God, acknowledging for what God has done for us, acknowledging that God has redeemed us and set us free, acknowledging that God has made us free and that we are no more in condemnation. And so it's through this precious work of our Lord Jesus that we enter into the presence of God without guilt, spotless, because Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God and we are now made in his image, so that makes us spotless, perfect.
Amen.
Without sin, sinless, makes you a saint who sins occasionally but then asks God to forgive them and God forgives them. You see, there's a difference. You hear so many Christians saying, oh, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Well, I was a sinner, saved by grace, but now God has made me a saint through his grace and his mercy and the blood of Jesus. And that's what happened to me. And that's what should happen to every one of us, that we're not sinners, but we're now saints who are washed and cleansed and saved by the grace and the love and the mercy and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. And we occasionally make mistakes, don't we? Not arrived at perfection yet, but through the work of God we are on the road of perfection. And we're thankful to God that God sees us perfect already, and so we can rejoice in that. And so when we come into the presence of God, we've got so many things that we can rejoice about. We can rejoice that he's set us free. We can rejoice that he's our healer, etc. And we'll move on into those shortly. But Psalm 22 says, is it Psalm 22? Yeah. 22 verse 3. Yet thou art holy, and thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. God is seated in the praises of his people. When God begins to hear his people praise him, then God begins to manifest himself. If you read in the Old Testament, when the people began to praise God, God made himself manifest. God came down and visited and made himself known to the people. And in the same way, God is the same yesterday, today and forever. So God hasn't changed. So when the people of God begin to praise him, when the people of God begin to give thanks, then God comes down. God makes a note. God, you get God's attention in a powerful way. And so the psalmist says that that God is enthroned. An enthronement is when God is seated amongst us. And so God wants to be seated amongst us. And the way we can find God to be seated amongst us is when we start to praise him. How do we praise him? With our mouths. With our hands, with our feet. And as we sing is one way that we praise the Lord, and as we lift our voices and give thanks to him, we praise God, and God begins to make himself manifest. And I believe that as we do that, that we will see even in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven being made manifest even in church life, even in this building. There are stories of many years ago when the presence of God would come down at revivals. There was one in Wales many years ago when on the back wall of the church there was an image of a lamb that had been slain, and it was there for days while this crusade was going on. People were coming out of the public houses and going to church and getting saved, and they didn't have overhead projectors in them days. But it was it was something when God made himself present and showed himself. There was a time when the Shetland Islands, where people were praying and they were having a speaker came over and they were having some meetings, and the presence of God came down, and literally everybody on the island were just being drawn to the church. They were just coming out of public houses and they were weeping and going to the church and finding out, how do I get saved? How do I get my sins forgiven? They even went to the police station to confess. That's right. They were guilty, but they didn't know how to get rid of it. And of course, the police didn't know what to do with them, so they sent them off to the church. And people were getting saved all over the island. And so God works wondrously. And God is still the same. And He can still do it again. But you see, it was a passion and a desire that was in the people that knew God. They were praying for those souls on the island. They were praying for revival to come to the island. And as they prayed, God heard them, and as they worshipped, God heard them, and God met their needs and brought a ministry of life and joy. Psalm 100 and verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful singing." You see, Christianity is about being happy, not being miserable. Gladness, being happy, singing, be joyful. God isn't a miserable God. There's no way He's miserable. And yet people so often try to accuse us that, oh, your God don't allow you to do this, don't allow you to do that. And it's like, what are you talking about? Our God is a joyful God. Our God is a God that allows us to do great things and to enjoy great things. And our God is a passionate God. He's passionate about His creation. I don't know if any of you this week have been watching, or this last two or three weeks have been watching Spring Watch. And the colours of God's creation, of the birds and the wild animals and the differences in them and their activities, are absolutely astounding to watch. And they're different in so many ways. And it's just an amazing sight to see that God made everything in order. Out of chaos, God made order. And it's fantastic to see this. And all of creation is there to praise God. You hear the birds singing. They're singing. They're singing the glory of heaven. Yeah, wonderful. Close your windows when that blackbird gets into full song at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Can't you find another aerial to go and sing on? I am trying to sleep. But he's calling in the light. And he's rejoicing that, there is another day that heaven has given them, that God has given to them. Absolutely. Some of them you think, hang on, is he with a PA system or something? Absolutely amazing, yeah. And they do. But we can praise God for that. So, hallowed be thy name. What's God's name? He's got more than one name, you see. Many people, and the Jews would say, well, it's Jehovah Yahweh. But then you begin to realize that God has started to tell you and me that He has got many names. If we look at Exodus chapter 3, second book of the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Everybody got it? Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Wow. I am who I am. What do you want God to be? And that's what we're going to look at into tonight. Do you want God to be your peace? Do you want God to be your provider? Do you want God to be your healer? And we're going to look at that tonight. So straight away God says, I will be what I want to be. In another way of putting it, I'll be what I want to be. I can be who I want to be. And he's not play acting either. He's not dressing up. He's the God who's the deliverer. And as you read through the Old Testament and you find how God is their deliverer, who sets them free when they're in bondage, how God is also there when they're at war, and God is the warrior that goes before them and sends out the angels to do battle, and God provides for them for 40 years in the wilderness. You know, God's bigger than Tesco, Sainsbury's and Morrison's put together. And you know, some of them brag about being the biggest. Well, it's okay, we've got a bigger provider, and his name is I Am. I am your provider. And for tonight, we're going to look in particular at 8 names that are used for God in the Old Testament. And as I said, basically, one of the first names that he's ever given to him is when he says to Moses, I am who I am. And it's tremendous when you start to take that on board and begin to realize that God will say to you, I am who I am. And you need to realize that and take that one on board. I will be what I want to be. And we look at that. And we'll look at the corresponding 5-fold promises he makes to his people in the New Covenant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The 8 names of God. So new day, new beginnings. Mm-hmm. And 5 being the day of grace. So if we look at these for a few minutes, because you are his child by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are sealed in the new covenant, and that's something wonderful. So we're going to just have a look at these 5 areas under the new covenant. A, forgiveness of sin and deliverance from sin's dominion. So that's one area, that for sin, you and I have forgiveness of sin and deliverance from sin's dominion. And this comes under the new covenant and under the names of God. B, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God within us. C, the promise of healing and health. So we have a soundness. That Jesus died on the cross and procured for us. And so we have that soundness for our lives in body, soul and spirit. D, freedom from the curse. The curse was failure. The curse was defeat. Destruction. Well, freedom from the curse means we have success. God invests in us and he invests in success. E, freedom from the fear of death and hell. We're no longer insecure. We have an absolute security. We have an eternal security that we are going to spend eternity in the kingdom of God with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator of the universe. So, you know, these are things that you can begin to get excited about. And this is part of your prayer time You're already getting excited about it. Because this is part of your prayer time. Suddenly prayer becomes more exciting and encouraging than, oh, what am I going to pray about? Oh, Mrs. So-and-so this and how so-and-so. It's first about worship. And when we learn to move into worship with God, then our prayer life will begin to expand in a greater way. And that we can verbalise the things that that is on our hearts in our own quiet time and declare the kingdom of God come. The benefits. Let's have a look at the benefits, the name and the meaning. So the benefit that we have from sin, we have Jehovah Sikenu, Jehovah our righteousness. Today you and I are made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Not of anything that we've done, not of anything that we've sought to do in any way, but we have been made righteous through the precious blood of Jesus. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So there we've had an exchange straight away. In the old days we used to take dynamos and alternators and things into the discount motorist place, didn't we? And they'd exchange they'd do an exchange unit, and you take it out and you just have to fit it straight in, and it worked just like that. Nowadays they don't have exchange units, they just chuck everything away and scrap it. Well, God's not scrapping you.
Amen.
He's exchanged something for you. And he's brought you out and he's given you a new life. And Jesus came and exchanged himself for you. Wow. And so we can thank God and realize that this is what Jesus has done for us. So straight away we find that we were unrighteous, we were unworthy, we were unable to enter into the presence of God. God would not listen to us. But the moment that we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we are made righteous. We are made worthy. It's not about what we can do. None of this is of ourselves. It's all laid on Jesus. And so that one who is brighter and more intelligent, I mean, Claire's probably one of the bright ones here. I mean, what do you get? 2-1, is it, you know? Sorry, a first. All right, sorry about that. You know, I don't understand all these numbers, but anyway, I just hear these numbers. They're all, you know, she's passed an exam. And she gets a first, you know. And so she's quite a bit brightest one amongst us, bless her. But, and then you might say, well, I never got any GCSEs. In fact, I didn't get any CSEs. So, you know, I probably came out a bit of a dougie, really. And so if it was taken on merit, on educational abilities, and then, you know, I'm back at Kew somewhere. They sent me on to college to do night school, because it couldn't work during the daytime, I had to send him at night, I think, you know. I had to work day and night just to get my qualifications, basically. Yeah, that's... yeah, don't rub it in, Bill. But you see, it's not about what you achieve. It's about what God has achieved, what Jesus achieved for us, you see. And so we partake of his achievements. we partake of his successes. And so it's nothing that we can do. It's nothing that we're able to do of ourselves. It's all because of Jesus. And we ride on his successes. We ride on his victories. We ride in his glory. And he's the trailblazer. And we just come in what's the gap behind? Airstream, yeah. We just flow in that airstream, that gap behind him, and we just follow through. He cuts the way through, and we just go through with it. And we just flow with it. And that's what God wants for us. To realise that he's done it all. You don't have to try and do it. It's already done. You just have to now begin to go with the flow and follow through. And so he's redeemed us and set us free from sin. Jehovah Makedesh means Jehovah who sanctifies us. You're sanctified. Of yourself you can't do it. You're made right. You're made clean. You can come into his presence. And so we're able to move into that realm of being sanctified in the presence and for the presence of God. So that's two of the names of God gives us the benefit of deliverance from sin. The benefit of the Spirit of God is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is peace. And Jesus came in a world that was torn, even at that time, by wars, by occupation, by beatings, by imprisonment. And he came to bring peace. And people thought at first he was bringing peace to their city, their land. But he had a bigger agenda than that. He was bringing peace to man. He was bringing peace into the heart of man. Because if the world wants peace, it's got to start inside man. It's got to be within a man. And when that peace will come into mankind, then there will be peace in the earth. And you can pray for peace, the peace of Jerusalem, but unless the peace of God comes into man who lives in Jerusalem and that area, that will never happen. So it needs Jesus to be made manifest in these people. And so when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're actually praying for salvation to come into men and women's lives. That is the only way that peace will ever enter that area or even enter this world, is when peace through the salvation of God enters into people's lives. And so we pray that we thank God that God is a God of peace. When he created the world and created all the universe, he looked at it and said it was good. He said, in fact, it's very good. It was a place of peace and tranquility. There was no death. There was no decay. There was eternal life on the earth. Amazing, isn't it? When you think, because we can't, that is a tremendous picture that is difficult, I think, for all of us to really get a grasp of. A plant didn't drop a leaf. When a leaf falls off, it's because it's decaying. Amazing, isn't it? You start to think like that. It gets broken. Everything's alive. Creation is alive. No, that's right. There ain't no dust. Dust, yeah. It's not of the dust realm anymore, is it? So there's no more death. And then we move on to another benefit of Jehovah Shammah, which means Jehovah is there. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Yeah, it is a good job. Sometimes we feel he's not there, but he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. God is always there. Even when you don't feel he's there, he is there. He know, the Bible tells us He knows you're going out and you're coming in. See, he's ever watchful over you. The Word tells us God never slumbers or sleeps. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going off. He knows when to guard, when to protect. He knows which angels to be that should be on guard around you. And constantly you're being watched and you're being protected and you're being covered. Psalm 139, did you say? Verse 7 says, "Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell below, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as day, and darkness and light are alike to thee." Darkness is not going to trouble God. And when it says, "And even if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea," it's a reference to Jonah. When he was in that big fish, and God, when he cried out to God, God delivered him. So God was there listening. So no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation you're in, God's there. "For thou didst form my inward parts," verse 13, "thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works." Now this is boasting of yourself, isn't it? You're being made by God. And you say, the psalmist says, "Wonderful are thy works. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me." Wow. The days that were already ordained for us have already been written down before we were formed. Wow. "When as yet there was not one of them." There weren't even a day written. There weren't even a day started. And yet it had all been written. It had all been prepared. It was all set in motion. Now that can blow your mind. You sit down and begin to think about that and start to try and understand that God was there. And you were there at the beginning of creation. Job said that we were there at the beginning of creation. All the sons of God. Yep. At creation. You know, these are things that are not taught very often in church. And we just skip them as we read them. We just skip by them. We forget to pull them together and to apply them. And so... "How precious," verse 17, "are thy thoughts towards me, God. How vast is the sum of them." Wow, God has a lot of thoughts towards you and me. Amazing, isn't it? He's got big hands. You know what? Oh. suddenly my mind went to food then. Did yours? I'm thinking a chip. Yeah. But I mean, it also says that he can hold the oceans in his hand. So I mean, where do you go from there? And this is God. And people have tried to say, "Oh, there are many gods." No, there's only one true God. Yeah. There's only one true God. And the way to that God is through Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. And I thank God that He's looking and He's caring for each and every one of us. He's always there for us. No matter what the problem is, Jesus is the answer. No matter what difficulties we're in, Jesus has got the answer. God is always there for us. And waiting to lift us up and to move us on. And to bring us into a real peace. So the Spirit of God, ministering to our spirit, ministers to us to bring us to peace and to always let us know that He said He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us, He was always there for us. And so if you read, as I say that, read that Psalm 139, it's a powerful psalm. Another benefit is soundness. Another benefit is soundness. Jehovah Rophe. Jehovah heals. He's the God who heals. He's the healing God. He's the healing Jesus. Wonderful. Hallelujah. And we can praise God that He comes to heal and to set captives free. And we know that by His stripes we are healed, and we can thank God for that, and that through the shedding of His blood that we are cleansed and healed and made whole, and we can praise God for that in our lives. And that is a wonderful thing that we've got that available to us. I'm actually missing some of my notes out here, unfortunately, but if we turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, and it says, He was pierced through for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities, the chastising for our well-being fell upon Him, and He was, and by His scourging we are healed. And that's where, what we have. We have a healing Jesus. We have a Jesus that comes to heal us, to set us free, and to bring us into that place of wholeness in Himself. And there are many scriptures, and there is the stories as Jesus walked on the earth, and the many people that Jesus touched and healed. So Jesus came to minister to the flesh as well as to the spirit. And so we can thank God that, you know, if you're feeling unwell, you can come into the presence of God and you can receive healing even as you pray. And as you give thanks to Him, you can receive the blessings of the healing of Jesus into your life and into your heart and see God moving mightily. And the promises of God are for you and for me each day. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 it says, And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. Now that is a powerful verse there, because if you realize there it says that we might die. Sorry, do you want that again? Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24.